soul is filled with joy as I sing to God my Savior. You have looked upon our feet, you have visited your people, and holy is your name through all generations. Everlasting is your mercy.
Good morning, and welcome to this morning's worship service from Zion Mennonite Church. My name is Joy Jarrett, and I am the worship leader here this morning. It has been rather exciting to plant seeds once again, and especially exciting to see that some of those seeds have pushed through the soil, and it's only been 4 days since they were planted. I'm always amazed by that. Those tiny radish seeds always give me hope for the rest of the garden and the growing season to come. I hope you've had a chance to plant some things this past week, or perhaps are looking forward to doing that. So why do we think it's important to gather together, if only in this rather distanced kind of way? I think it's because we need reminding that somewhere, somehow, God is working in our world and in each of our lives, continuing to be with us in each and all of our experiences, and to remind us that we are part of a larger community of believers and seekers, that we are not alone. May God bless each of you as you continue to practice the basic things of life, loving your neighbor, supporting people on the journey, being kind. May this be a time of being the best version of yourselves, and may you feel God's comfort as you journey forward. Welcome to each one of you, our regular attenders, and anyone else listening to this service. Our hope is that something that is said or sung will be meaningful for your life and add hope to the week ahead. Let us worship together. I'd like to invite you to worship with a modern psalm, a compilation of a few of the psalms, Psalm 19, 96, 148, and 150. God is creating the heavens and the earth, and the heavens are telling the glory of God. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let all that has life and breath sing to the glory of God. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Let the heavens be glad. Let the sea roar. Let the cities sing for joy. Praise the Lord, all creation. Sing, sun and moon, mountains and hills, beasts and all cattle. Praise the Lord, all creation. Leaders and all people, young and old, women and men, children together. Praise the Lord, all creation, with worship and work, with teaching and learning, with praying and singing, with laughter and talking. Praise the Lord, all creation. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let all that has life and breath sing to the glory of God. Let this be your invitation to worship. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, we declare that we have reasons to sing today. We sing to praise your character and your deeds. You melt your enemies. You are father to the fatherless, a home for the homeless, and a family for the lonely. You are freedom for the prisoners. We remember your faithfulness to us through our trials and the abundant promises you have already fulfilled. We cannot keep this to ourselves. We tell everyone about your power, might, and strength. You are holy. We sing in your presence. Amen.
Sing praise to God, who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul is filled, and every faithless murmur stills, to God all praise and glory. Sing praise to God, who reigns above, the God of our creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul is filled, and every faithless murmur stills, to God all praise and glory. Sing praise to God, who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul is filled, and every faithless murmur stills, to God all praise and glory.
Please join with me for the offering prayer this morning. God of abundance, bless each of the acts of kindness given by people in this congregation this past week. Bless the various ways that people have chosen to give of themselves with love, asking nothing in return. This morning, we give our collective financial offering. Bless this portion of our giving as well. In your name, together we pray. Amen.
Let us bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
My scripture reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James.
This is Joanne Rickert, and I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Psalm 68, verses 1 to 10, and verses 32 to 35. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Cast up a highway for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exult before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when thou didst go forth before thy people, when thou didst march before the wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou diddst shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. Thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was parched. Thy creatures settled in it. Thou didst provide in thy goodness for the poor, O God. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. To him who rides upon the highest heavens, which are from ancient times. Behold, he speaks forth with his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His majesty is over Israel, and his strength is in the skies. O God, thou art awesome from thy sanctuary. The God of Israel himself gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God.
1 Peter 4:12 to 14. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Scripture I'll be reading is from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name, those whom you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the word of the Lord.
My life flows on in endless song, above its lamentation. I catch the sweet, though far off hymn that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to my heart, a fountain there. can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since love is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing?
Good morning, and welcome to our very real worship service. You are in your homes and in some other various locations, but we are really and truly and sincerely worshiping the Lord together. And I am sure that you have already been worshiping through the call to worship, the songs, the reading of the scripture, and so many more. And we pray that God will also bless this portion of our service of worship together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned last Sunday, this Sunday is just a few days after the Ascension, and I don't know if any of you participated in any kind of commemoration or any kind of a service. I don't know if there were any real or virtual or Zoom or Facebook or any of the above. I almost did. I was ready and then had no participants. Well, maybe next year. Nonetheless, one of today's scriptures, the Acts scripture, that's all about the story of the Ascension and the disciples following Jesus. Jesus led them out to a certain place, and while he was blessing them, he was drawn up into the clouds, and then suddenly two men dressed in white, the angels, were standing there on the ground together with the disciples saying, "Why are you looking up? He's not here. He has gone on ahead of you. He is at the right hand of God." And now we are tasked with the next phase, which has not yet begun. So really, we are again in a kind of middle kingdom. China would like that because they are called the middle kingdom. We're in that in-between time when we're not sure what to do and we're supposed to be waiting. I know there's plenty of devotionals written about waiting. You've got to wait until the Holy Spirit comes, which is Pentecost, which is next Sunday. But Thursday was Ascension, and here we are, post-Ascension, post-Easter, but pre-Pentecost. So what are we supposed to be doing? What are we all about? And I know that our world would tell us, well, you deserve this, you deserve that, you deserve the best, you deserve the best car, the best house, and on and on. I don't need to tell you these things. You've heard them and possibly succumbed to some of them. And what I found interesting in all the other three of today's lectionary texts, the one in John 17, the 1 Peter text, and the Psalm text, there was one thing that tied them all together, and that was the fact that God does want us to be full of joy, that we do deserve, in air quotes, joy. God has made us for joy, fullness of joy. That's something to think about. And I would warn you, anyone out there who would like to do some kind of Bible study or maybe preach someday on the topic of joy, beware, because as soon as you plan to do that, you will surely be struck down with all the things in your personal life which will make you unjoyful. Oh, I can give you a whole long list. It's kind of ridiculous. And that's why I always hesitate to talk about patience. Because you start speaking or preparing to preach about patience and wham, bam, and you get struck with everything that makes you impatient. But it also reminded me of all of the various ways that we do try to make ourselves more joyful or happier. You know, if I use the word happy, then we can link into that, I think, a little bit more easily. We don't want to tell people bad news because it will make them unhappy. We keep it to ourselves, our sorrows, our struggles, because we don't want others to feel the unhappiness that we feel. We want everybody else to be happy. We think, oh, we need to be together so we can be happy again together. Or there are many who say, oh, if I could only find a good relationship, then I'd be happy. Or if I could get married, then I'd be happy. And of course, there are those in marriages who would say, oh, if I could only get out of this marriage, then I would be happy. And unfortunately, that is the way our society and we within our society begin to think and act if we're not careful. And so here is a reminder that yes, joy is from God. Yes, God wants us to be full of joy, exultant and rejoicing and all of those things. Now, how do we get there? And, oh, I've got tons of ideas about ways to make myself happy, and I usually try them and often fail. But God's way to joy is different than our own. So that's why I entitled this, Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Some of you will know that song. Others will just say, what is she talking about? But anyway, do you know the way to happiness? How can we get there? And I wanted to just start with the little story in Nehemiah, partly because I like to have a balance of Old Testament and New Testament, but also because it's a really cool little story. Nehemiah chapter 8. The exiles have moved back to their homeland. They have finished their time of exile, started rebuilding, getting their lives back on track. Not terribly dissimilar to what we're hoping is going to happen for us. You know, all of the reopening, wanting to get everything up and going. It doesn't happen all that quickly. We get impatient, all of those things. So here they are. They've gotten together, they've managed to build the wall, they've finished phase one, they've moved into phase two of their reopening. And in the outline in the bulletin, I just outlined a few things that I wanted people who are reading the story to notice, because it's so similar to our church gatherings. They had a special platform that they had built for Ezra, who was going to be reading the scriptures. And they said, bring the book, we want to hear the scriptures. They put him up on the platform so that they could see him. So everyone who gathered was there to hear. Everyone who had understanding, also very important. And when he read the word, they responded. And after they had responded, there was also more clarification that was needed. So there were plenty of other people that were standing on his right and on his left. I won't start trying to read those names. Plenty of people, i.e. Sunday school teachers, who were ready to explain and to put it into plain language. And at the end of it, they were supposed to go home and eat and share this food together with other people who didn't have enough. There's the potluck. Wow! But one thing is very striking about this story and the reading of it. The people were ready to respond, ready to worship. And Ezra said to the people, do not mourn or weep, because this was their response. They were worshiping, but they were also mourning and weeping. And Ezra said, don't mourn and don't weep. This day is holy. This is a special day. And verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hang on to that. That's what he gave them that Sunday morning after he read the scripture from the platform. So we have to ask ourselves, what is that joy of the Lord? One thing that struck me before I get into the joy of the Lord, he didn't say, the strength of the Lord is your joy. It's different. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So just something to ponder. So if I want to know the way to this strength, to the joy of the Lord, where can I find it? Well, I can look first for J, the first letter of joy. And we find that in John 17, verses 1 to 11. The J is for Jesus. That's what I always tell Shelby, too, when we have our Bible studies here. If she doesn't know the answer is always Jesus. She uses it quite often. Very effective. And for those of you who use our daily bread, you will recognize this. The smiling Jesus was used in one of the daily devotions this week. John 17 is not the first place you would look to think about a smiling Jesus. But throughout this whole text of John 17, verses 1 through 11, Jesus is praying for his disciples, praying for all of the believers. And his last words, his last wishes for them, and that wish is for unity. Did I hear a groan? I think I did. I think I heard some of you going, oh, no, not unity. Because unity is the step towards joy. If you look at verse 13, we only read 1 to 11. But if you look at verse 13, Jesus says, but now I am coming to you. Jesus is coming to the Father, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I'm saying these things to them so they'll know, they'll realize, they'll understand. This is the way to joy, through unity. Verse 11 says, so that they may be one as you and I are one. Totally not what we would have guessed, not what we want either. And some of you are saying, you know, I kind of like this isolation. I kind of like having my Sunday service on my own. I don't get distracted. I don't get bothered by all those other people that go to that church. And isn't that why people switch churches too? They can't get along with the people in one church, and so they move to another. Unity is the step towards the complete fullness of joy that Jesus desires for us to have. Another way to describe Jesus' joy found in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, where Jesus is described as having been anointed with the oil of gladness. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness because he loved righteousness. Desiring righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not just in others, but also in ourselves. That's an essential to joy. That's J. Then move on to O. O for ordeals. And many will be going, oh, we know what that means. And in 1 Peter, when Peter is writing this letter to those people who are, in fact, struggling at the time, and this is his letter of encouragement, he starts in the text we're using, which is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. Beloved, do not be surprised at your ordeal. Don't be surprised at your ordeal. And so I think, oh, you know, when you're surprised, you go, oh! Sometimes you leap off the ground when you're doing that. During the time of our quilting in winter, when all the ladies are downstairs, and sometimes I'm tasked with reminding the sewers that it's time for coffee, and I come up the hallway, and I stand in the door, and I'm about to say something, and Barb and Esther will leap off of their chairs, not because they're so eager for coffee, but because I scared them. I love leaping out and scaring people. And Shelby knows this too. That's why she comes carefully down the hallway before she gets to my office. Because she knows I like to surprise people. Peter here says, don't be surprised at the ordeals. Don't be surprised, but here's the positive. Rejoice. Be glad and shout for joy. Now there's a qualifier. It says, insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. Not when you're suffering simply for having a bad attitude or for being nasty to other people. But if we are suffering the way Christ suffered, suffering for being believers, then we shouldn't be surprised, but we should be rejoicing. Rejoice in this. Be glad and shout for joy. Now, of course, this is a process, and Peter describes that process and our partnership in that process. It's not, you know, these things happen to externally, and then we are just shouting and rejoicing. No, there's steps towards it. And if you look at chapter 5, verse 6 to 11, you'll see it's a very simple little process. Simple, but not easy. The process begins with humble yourselves. First thing we need to do is be humble. And I think even just in considering that, humility is definitely a good step towards joyfulness. I'm thinking about myself and my driving habits. When I am humble and just allow people to race in front of me, then I feel better. When I am trying to assert my own rights, then I feel less joyful. So humility is a good first step towards joy. Humble, and then casting your cares on Him. Keep throwing them. Lots of people are out casting hooks into the water in the creek. Up and down the creek, lots of fishermen. And they don't just cast once. They cast and bring it back and cast and bring it back and cast constantly. People sometimes tell me, oh, I didn't want to phone you again with this prayer request or this problem that I have because I've already brought it to you before. But Jesus says, and Paul reminds us, keep casting your cares on Him. Why? Because He cares. Keep casting. Throw it out there again and again. He cares for you. These are steps towards joy. If you hang on to those things, they will not bring joy. But keep casting them out and realizing God's caring for you, for us. Now, within this, be disciplined, be alert, because Satan is out there and looking for ways to tear you down, to drag you down, to help you focus on the negative things, on the hard things, or trying to convince you that you need to fix this. No, be disciplined and alert and resist the devil. These are the steps within the process of being joyful in the midst of our ordeals. The last one, the why, I say it's for yahoo! Hooray, rejoicing, shouting for joy, found in the psalm of today, our lectionary text, Psalm 68, verses 1 to 10 and 32 to 35. Yahoo! And we are encouraged to do that, to let loose, to be joyful before God. Of course, what comes to mind is David dancing with all his might when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back in. So joyful, but we're so together, held everything in. No, we've got to let loose. We are made with emotions and we need to express them. You know, this year, this summer, who knows when the CFL is actually going to get to start. And many of us are disappointed because that is a perfect opportunity for us in our humanity to let loose and rejoice and shout. No one is quiet at a football game. In fact, even today, I was going for a walk at lunchtime and I'm wearing my Blue Bombers jersey. And I met a guy who was wearing a Saskatchewan Rough Riders jersey. And he passed me and then he stopped. He came back and he says, you know, I like your jersey. I said, I like yours too. Well, I only like his because we beat them. Ha ha. No, sorry. So we started talking about football. That expression of exuberance. And when we don't do that, we are limiting the joy in our lives. Let loose. When we are right with God, we can exult before Him, be jubilant with joy. Psalm 68, verse 3 says so. Go ahead. And then, not only that, here I'm reading verse 3. Let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. This is the way to experience joy in our lives. Then verse four says, sing to God, sing praise to His name, lift up a song to Him. See, it doesn't just say those who are good at singing or those who know all the words. No, sing, just go ahead and sing before God. One funny thing I have noticed in the guidelines that I think it was the government of Alberta for the opening of churches. It said, singing is a dangerous activity and will not be allowed. And, you know, in light of this COVID, blah, 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 it makes sense, but never would I have thought that I would hear singing is a dangerous activity. Here God reminds us, and through the psalmist, sing to God, be joyful and exuberant. Verse 32, at the end of the psalm again, sing to God. Why? How? Because remember, God is our Father. He protects us. He is our home. He gives us freedom. He leads us. He gives us rain. On and on. I could go on for a very long time. And most of all, because God is an awesome God. Look at verse 35. Awesome is God in His sanctuary. If we allow ourselves to be dragged around by the other information, info wars, or by the knowledge, or, you know, whatever else it is that preoccupies us, we will definitely be devoid of joy. We've got to make sure that the seeds that we are actually planting within us are those which produce joy. It's what we're made for. We're supposed to be joyful. And God desires joy in God's people. Not always the perfect conditions. We have to remember there are ordeals, but in the midst of those, joy will be produced. Let's humble ourselves and follow God's way to San Jose. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 for the benediction. May the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, Himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. Amen.
Oh. To podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.